One prayer. We are in the middle and getting close to the end of the One Prayer movement that is going on around the world today. As approximately 2,000 churches who signed up to be a part of the One Prayer movement, it's crossed denominational lines, and those churches who were just saying, we want to come together in the month of June and speak on the thought of One Prayer. And so we have a prayer online that you're getting every day. If you want to go to that, you can see that on mydestinychurch.com, our church website. You can go there and see the prayer focus for the day. But those same prayers are being prayed by the worldwide church all around the world. We're all focusing on the same thing. We're praying the same prayer. And we're also challenging our people in the church to share the gospel with somebody. Invite somebody to church. Look for someone to tell of the goodness of God in your life. And to serve. Look for areas to serve. Serve somebody. Show them the love of Christ in a practical way. Looking for ways to serve using the gifts that God's given you. And at the same time, we're asking to give. And we're going to give to help start new churches. Last year, approximately 600 churches were started out of the One Prayer movement as people gave financially. And we're going to be helping start a church in Brazil that just kicked off not too long ago. They'll be here next week, our missionaries to Brazil, Hillary and Aldaí. They are starting the home church there, and God's already doing great things there. And we're going to be going there. We're taking a group of about 15 people on a missions trip here at the first part of August. And we're going to be going to visiting their church, helping them out there, and then also going down the Amazon River doing just some ministry down the Amazon via a boat, getting to different villages. It's going to be quite the experience and quite the adventure. But we're going to be needing money. We want to go there. We want to take some money with us that you're going to give me. We're going to go there, and we're going to help bless them. We're going to help paint their building. We're going to help get their building up to par, what needs to be done. And so I'm going to need some finances to do that. So we're going to help plant that church. So next week, I invite you to come next week ready to give. So if you're bringing a check with you, maybe you don't always bring two checks, or you're bringing cash, I just say plan ahead so you can prepare to give in that offering as well. We'll be taking up that offering to bless them, and we're going to help that church get launched. And how many know when you're starting a new church, there's a lot of things you got to purchase. There's a lot of things that need to be done, and you just never seem to quite have everything you need. And so we know that as a new church ourselves, that there's always things we're needing. There's always things that we still want to get and things we want to purchase and get done to help us advance the gospel, to draw more people to Christ, which is the ultimate goal. And so we have a great, great, great opportunity to help our spiritual, there are spiritual kids out of our church here that we're helping plant there and support there in the mission field. And we're excited about what God's going to do, great things with them. I've already visited with them this week a little bit. I'm excited. They'll be here next week, and we're going to take them up an offering to help get that church going to a different level. Okay, today we're going to continue in our One Prayer thing. All the One Prayer churches are preaching the same thing when it comes to the word God is. And then they're allowing each church to fill in the blank as they want to. Every pastor can preach on whatever subject he wants, but we're using the title God is. And we've heard God is love. We've heard God is more. We've heard God is faithful. And today we're going to hear God is able. God is able. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is able. God is able. We see a story here in Joshua 10, verses 24 through 26. We see a story in Joshua when we're talking about God is able. And what would happen here is Joshua was leading the children of Israel in his time of being reigning over them as their leader. And what was happening was these five kings from the surrounding villages and countries, these five kings got there and they said, listen, we're going to ambush these guys. We're going to take them out. So the five kings said, we're going to put our five armies together and we're going to go secretly ambush these guys when they're not looking, and we're going to take back all this land, and we're going to get all this stuff, and the enemies are going to come and they're going to defeat the children of Israel. Well, God revealed it to Joshua, and he said, hey, my captain said, listen, we spotted what's going on. They're plotting an ambush on us, Joshua. He said, the five kings have gotten together. They're hiding in a cave, and they got all their armies ready to ambush us and attack us. And so Joshua said, go to that cave where all the kings are hiding and meeting and strategically planning to kill us, and pick a big stones and cover up the cave hole. Now, how many know what a great strategy? I mean, I don't know how smart these kings were, but to put the five kings all together in a cave that has no way out. And so the enemies go there, and their enemies go, and they cover up the cave and lock the five kings, five of the most powerful men in that region, locked up in the cave thinking they're going to ambush the children of God. And God says, no, you're going to take it, and you're going to cover up that cave. And as they cover up the cave, they went and they spoiled the ambush. They went and defeated their armies. And when they got done, Joshua said this. He says, so it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua. He went back and got those kings out of the cave who were planning to kill the children of Israel. And so it was when they brought those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war. These are the guys who just gotten back from battle and defeated these guys. He said to all the captains of the men of war who went out with him, "Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings." And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. And then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor dismayed." That word dismayed is the word we get for don't lose it, man. You ever know somebody who gets so nervous that they just almost go into a nervous panic attack, anxiety attack? That's what it's saying. Don't be afraid. Don't have these panic attacks. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all of your enemies against you whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. So we know there was five kings here that were represented, that they were wanting to kill. They were wanting to kill the faith, kill what God was trying to do in his people. And we see this, and as I read this story, I thought, you know, many times in our life that there's a lot of faith killers that happen in our life. There's a lot of faith killers that come along and they want to steal and kill what God is speaking to you and I. That what God's wanting to do in our church, in our lives, in our families, in our personal children, and things around us. When things are happening, God's wanting to do more. Let me tell you, God is able to do more than we could ever dream, imagine, even envision. God can do more than that. He's bigger than our thoughts. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. God is more, isn't he? He's more than we can think of. He's more. We got to take God out of the box. But in order to see him be more in our life, we've got to realize that there are dream killers out there. There's things out there that stop God from working. There's faith killers. And so these five kings, I believe, in my heart today, are representing the five things today that maybe you and I, that we have to kill in our life. There's five things that are faith killers that we got to kill in our life to see God do more in our life, to see God able to do above and beyond in our life. These five things, are, I believe, are the five senses that we have. How many of we have five senses? See, hear, feel, touch, and taste. Those are the things we got to get by in our life. You realize that? Those are five faith killers if we let them. And so we got to get our foot a hold on these five things, these five senses. We got to put our foot on our neck and say, "You're not going to destroy me. You're not going to stop my faith. My God is bigger than what you are." And so let's talk about these five faith killers. Number one, the sense of smell. The sense of smell. You know, it was the three Hebrew children that refused to bow down to the idol. We've heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the three who refused to bow down to the graven image. And when the music played, the whole land was told, "Listen, you're going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol here of himself that he's built. You bow down and you worship him. Anybody who does not worship this idol, you're going to be put to death by the fiery furnace." And then we know the three Hebrew children said, "No way, man. You're not our God. Our God is bigger than this idol. Our God's alive, man. We're not bowing down. We're not compromising just because you're threatening our life." And of course, we know what happened. The three Hebrew children did not bow, and they were bound up, and they were placed in the fiery furnace. The Word of God says that fire was so hot that the guards who took them to throw them in were immediately killed just from the heat coming off the fire. That's how hot it was. It was the hottest it had ever been, ever. And the heat was so bad that it killed the guards who took to throw him in. And the Word of God says that while they were there, that they went around and looked in the fire, and they could see these guys walking around celebrating. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not only were they walking around, but he said there's a fourth person walking around, and he has the face of the Son of Man, the Son of God. And God was walking around. These guys were in there, and he said, "Get these guys out of the fire. There's no way. They must have a God that's bigger than our God." And they walked out of the fire. And when they walked out of the fire, the scripture was very clear. It said that they didn't even what? Smell like smoke. Isn't that interesting that the scripture was very clear about putting that in there? That they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even have the residue or smell anything like smoke after being in the fire. Let me say to you this, that God today, that we have things in our life that we're going to go through, that we have problems we're going to face. We're going to go through the fire in our life. That's a given, okay? We're going to have fire times in our marriage. We're going to have fire times in our personal struggles. We're going to have times of walking through the fire in our finances. We're going to have a hard time walking through the fire at different times in our life. But listen, God never intended for you to smell like smoke when you came out. That God wants to do more. And if we're not careful, we walk around and we smell of everything we've ever gone through in our life. We smell, and we got this bad smell that follows around. "Oh, you've been in that fire. Oh, you've been over there. Oh, you smell like this, and you smell like that." Listen, it's all right to go through it. It's all right to pass through it, but God never intended for you to smell like your problems the rest of your life. God never intended for us to smell like the things of the world the rest of our life. That there comes a time when God says, "Yeah, you may go through, but when you follow me, I'll have you coming through, and you won't even smell the fire. You won't even smell a smoke when you come through the fire. That's how big our God is. That's how big our God is, that we can walk through the fires of life, and we walk through them. People say, man, you came through that fire, and you don't even smell like smoke. That's what God's wanting to do in our life. But we got to put our foot on the neck of this smell and say, you know what? I don't want to smell like everything I've gone through in my life. I'm not going to smell like abuse. I'm not going to smell like divorce. I'm not going to smell like the sickness I went through. I'm not going to smell like financial trouble. Yeah, I've gone through it, but you know what? I'm coming out on the other side, and God has washed me clean, and I'm going to walk in faith knowing that God's got a destiny for my life and a purpose for my life, and I'm going to walk through this fire and come out smelling good. That's what God wants to do in our life, this thing of smell, getting over the smell, the stench. It was in the Old Testament that we see where they would bring their sacrifices unto the high priest and to the temple, and the high priest would have to take these animal sacrifices and place them into the holies of holies. He would light these sacrifices on fire, and they would go up to the Lord, and this is how we made atonement for our sins. Back in the Old Testament, we had to bring the sacrificial things to be sacrificed, and it made atonement. Of course, we know in the New Testament, no longer do we do that. In the New Testament, Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, and now we just have to trust in Him, believe in Him, confess Him as Lord of our life, and repent of our sins and know that He is Lord. That's how we have right relationship. But in the Old Testament, what happened was the high priest was the only one who could approach God. Now you and I, we can approach God. We can have that relationship with Him on a daily basis. But back in the Old Testament, we were not allowed to do that. Only those who were commissioned of God, anointed to be the high priest, could do this. And they would take those sacrifices in there, and they would light them up, and they would burn these sacrifices. Now, how many know that even though meat smells good when it's being cooked, like it's going to today, a charcoal, those burgers, man, they're going to smell good out there. Our charcoal is going to be grilling. But, you know, you start burning some of those sacrifices, and they didn't do them the way we do now. They didn't clean them the way we do now, you know. So all that would begin to burn, and it didn't smell very good when... You ever smelled burnt hair? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. It wasn't a pretty smell. And so the Lord had ordered these priests. He said, I want you to take a sweet-smelling incense, and I want you to use these incense, and you burn these incense, and these incense will help cover that smell, and it will also become a form of worship. As it rides up into the heavens, it's a form of worship. They would burn the incense to take care of the smell. And I wonder today that when we go through things in our life, when we go through the fire in our life, if we'll just take time to worship the Lord, if we'll just take time to say, God, I'm going to burn my spiritual incense, which is worship. God, I'm going to give you worship today in my life. I'm going to worship you, God, and I'm going to allow that smell to come out of my life. I'm going to allow that smell to come from my body. I'm going to allow that smell to come from my heart. I'm going to cover up the smoke smell with praise and worship, and God, and allow you, God, to burn an incense in my life, Lord, that brings a sweet aroma to who you are. God is wanting us to get past this sense of smell. It was John 11:39 where we see where Lazarus was dead. Jesus' friend Lazarus was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. And they called for Jesus to come and to help save him before he was to die. And of course, he died on the journey there. He'd already died, and Jesus knew this. When he got there, he'd been dead for 4 days. And look what Jesus said. When he got there, he said, hey, take away the stone. Now, he's been dead for 4 days, okay? He said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead for 4 days. How many know, my man, there's a lot of stink out there. And sometimes people tell you, you know, God will tell you and give you instructions. He'll say, listen, I want you to move away the stone off this thing that stinks. And you're like, God, this thing stinks. I don't even want to be around it. And God says, move away the stone. You know, sometimes we've got to get past the stink smell. Sometimes God's wanting to do something in our life. Sometimes God's wanting to do something great in our life. And we see it as dead. It stinks by now. I don't want to go back to that, God. I don't want to touch that thing. And God says, listen, I said, move away the stone. And when they moved away the stone, he said, Lazarus, you come forth. Lazarus, come out of that grave. And the word of God says, he came up out of that grave, still bound. He couldn't walk. What happened? I believe he floated right across that place and sat down right in front of Jesus and wrapped him out of his grave clothes. And he was alive. Listen today. Sometimes you have a problem in your life and it smells bad. It smells horrible. Man, it feels like it is dead. That puppy's gone. God doesn't care about this problem in my life. God doesn't care about what I'm going through in my life. It stinks. It's bad. And sometimes God's waiting to resurrect that thing in your life you thought was dead. But he's looking to see, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to go by what you smell? Or are you going to go by my command? My command says, move away the stone. Your smell says he's dead. Don't move it. But my command says you're going to move away the stone. And sometimes we've got to get past the smell and say, God, you said it's alive. God, even though it looks dead, you said it can be restored. Even though it looks impossible, God, you can bring healing to my life. God, I'm getting past what I smell. It stinks on the outside. But God, when you say move, I'm going to move. And we've got to be quick to listen to what God's saying, not what our nose is saying. Are you following me this morning? I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Someone say amen today? All right. Making sure you're with me. You're passing the smell. In spite of what you smell, you know today that God is able. Number two, we're going to get past the sense of what we feel. The sense of what we feel. How many know our feelings will lie to us? Isn't that true? Your feelings will lie to you many times. There's a great story of this in Genesis chapter 27. We see where Isaac, who was being close to his deathbed, he had a son, Esau, who was his eldest son he wanted to pronounce blessing on. And his youngest son, Jacob, was his mama's boy. And his mama said, listen, your dad's wanting to bless Esau with the blessing, but if you go and do all this, you can go. You know he's blind. You can't really see. You can probably deceive him, and you can receive the blessing that he's going to give Esau, your older brother, and you can sneak in there and receive it. And so let's pick it up. Let's see what it says here. It says, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. But he couldn't see, remember? And so he's like, all right, I'm supposed to give this blessing to your brother Esau, and I'm hearing the voice of my son Jacob. So he said, come here. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Why does that be? Because the Word of God says that he went out and he put goat skin on some wool on his arms to make his arms feel really hairy, because his brother Esau was a hairy man. And so he put hair on his neck and hair on his arms. He was a manly's man. You know what I'm talking about, okay? He was a real gestalt there. He was there. He had his hair everywhere. He plastered all over himself. He says, all right, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. You sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother. So Esau, his brother Esau, so he blessed him. So what happened? Because Jacob went by what he was feeling versus what he was hearing, he gave the blessing to the wrong brother. So we can't always go by what we feel, because my feelings aren't always right. Sometimes if I'll be still and listen, the voice of God will tell me exactly what I need to do. And what I need to do sometimes is the very opposite of the way I feel. Scripture teaches us that our feelings are like emotions that are like the waves of the sea. One day they're up, one day they're down. One day we're on the top of the world, the next day we're down here. And so we can't go and gauge everything by our emotions, what we feel, because we don't always feel it, do we? We don't always feel like getting up and coming to church, but I know I got to be steady. I don't always feel like getting involved and serving, but I know that I got to go not by what I feel, but I got to go by what I know, what God is speaking to me, that I am to use my gifts. I am to serve and to offer what God's given me. I don't always feel like giving to the Lord, but I know that he's commanded it. I know God's speaking to me to give and be obedient to his word about giving. I don't always feel like stopping and helping somebody, but his spirit will say, turn around, go back and help that person with a flat tire. I don't always feel like going to the lunchroom and sitting by the person that nobody else likes in the lunchroom. Everybody else is trying to avoid that person that's annoying everybody else, or that person's an outcast. I don't always feel like sitting down by him. But if I hear from the voice of the Lord, he may be telling me to do that. I don't always go by what I hear. I mean, by what I hear, but I should go by what I hear, not always what I feel. If I go by what I feel, my emotions will often lead me down the wrong way. Because you know why? Our feelings are what? Our feelings are going to be hurt. You stay. I'll tell you why. I've never met anybody who's been in church long enough who didn't get the feelings hurt sometime. Isn't that just the truth? I mean, I wish I could say there's a perfect church out there. I wish I could say that there's a perfect church, and man, but I've never met one yet. I've never seen a church. I've been in thousands of churches in my lifetime, and I've never seen a perfect church yet. And eventually, somewhere, you're going to get your feelings hurt. If you've been in church very long, someone's going to hurt your feelings. And I can't allow my spiritual walk with God to be based off my feelings. And some of you have come from that situation. You may have been hurt before, and you're trying to get back into church again. It's been a long time. And so you got to get past those feelings that keep my feelings says, you know what? Guard your heart. Don't allow yourself to get involved again, because at the last church you was at, you got involved and you got hurt. And so do not even go there. That's what my feelings say, isn't it? Don't even allow yourself to do that because you'll just get hurt again. Yeah, because we're human and we're imperfect, and eventually we're going to do something that hurts each other. But you know what? We got to learn to forgive each other. We got to learn to say, you know what? I can't go off of what I feel. I got to go off of what I know. I know that God wants me to be involved. I know that God wants me to use my gifts. I know that God wants me to do more. I can't allow my feelings to dictate my faith. I got to get my foot on the neck of that feeling and say, God, I'm not going to allow my feelings to dictate my salvation. I'm not going to allow my feelings to dictate my spiritual growth. I'm not going to allow my feelings to dictate how I serve and use my gifts. Because ultimately, God, I'm doing it for you. Man, yes, I'm serving them, but God, ultimately, I'm doing it for you. And I'm going to please you no matter what in my life. I want to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. And so I got to get past those feelings. Feelings will change. Feelings change. You know, it was Noah that God was talking to, and he said, hey, I'm going to bring the flood. Prepare the big ark, and I'm going to bring all the animals two by two. I mean, wasn't it amazing that God could bring those animals? They all showed up. He didn't have to go out and gather them. All the animals showed up in pairs, ready to come into the ark. I mean, God had instructed them, and they walked in peacefully. Animals that were predators, animals that were could not survive in the wild together were able to live in that ark together and survive. And they knew something was coming. And I got God telling them, listen, guys, this is you're lucky. I'm choosing you. You go in the ark, and you behave. Because if you don't behave, Noah's going to kick you off, and you're going to be out in that water. So I think, but this is not, we can't find this actually typed in the Bible, okay? So I want to tell you to make this clear. This is not actually found written in the Bible. But most theologians believe this, that the last instruction that God gave Noah was the instruction to make sure the woodpeckers are put above the water line, okay? I think we don't know for a fact. We just think that, okay? We think that God told us, hey, Noah, put the woodpeckers, make sure they're above the water line. Why is that? Because how many know it only takes one woodpecker? It only takes one woodpecker to get on that bottom and start pecking away. And sometimes that's what happens. If we allow our feelings to get in there, it only takes one person with hurt feelings to get in there and start pecking away and sink the whole ship, okay? And so we're going to make sure that we don't go by what we feel. We're going to make sure that we don't allow our feelings to come and to rule. But we're saying, God, I'm not going to go by what I feel because my feelings are up one day and down the next. I'm going to go by what your word says. I'm going to go by what you're speaking to me, what your Holy Spirit's directing me to do. God, I'm going to go, Father, and I'm going to be what you're wanting me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to be. Because God is what? God is able. So we put our foot on that sense of feel. The third thing we see, we got to get past the sense of what we see. The sense of what we see. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by what? Faith. We walk by. One more time. We walk by. Not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Spiritually, that's hard to do, isn't it? Because it's just the opposite of what we do in our real life. In real life, we walk by sight. You know, I depend on my eyes to tell me where to go. I depend on my eyes to direct me. But in the spiritual realm, it's not that way. In the spiritual realm, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to learn to get a hold of this king of seeing. Because sometimes we don't always see what God is seeing. We don't always see what God's wanting us to see. And if we're not careful, we don't see the big picture. What we look at with our natural eyes doesn't make a lot of sense to us. I can tell you, I've been there in my life. Looking through my natural, God, what are you doing? God, what are you planning? God, what are you wanting to do? And I'm like, God, this doesn't make no sense to me at all. And but I have to get past what I see and say, God, but I'm going to go by my faith. My faith says, God, I'm going to trust you. My faith says that through you, things are going to work out. Through you, you got a better plan. And so we see this playing out in our life. It was the story of Elisha. One time, Elisha and his servant were in a house, and they had heard the Spirit of God had spoke to Elisha and said, hey, listen, they're coming to ambush you. How many know that ambush was happening a long time ago? This happened a lot in the Bible. They were always going to ambush. And always the person of God was going to get ambushed. You never noticed that? They're like, all right. If one person couldn't do it, they were going to bring a whole army to take out one prophet. This one prophet had really ticked them off. Elisha, he had really ticked them off. And so they were coming to ambush him. And so he said, told his servant, go outside and tell me what you see. As he went outside, he looked up and he saw all these great armies and chariots coming at him, man. They were coming to the house. He ran back in. He said, Elisha, master, all I see is the great host coming, man. They're going to come. The army's coming to ambush us to get us. And he was in fear. This is it. Could this be the end? You know, some of you older people, you know what I'm talking about. Could this be the end for our mass crusaders? Could this be the end for Elisha? Could this be the end for his boy servant? No. What did Elisha say to him? He said, go back out and look again. And when he went back out, Elisha prayed. He said, God, help him not to see with his own eyes. Help him to see the spiritual with spiritual eyes. And when he went back out there, he looked out across the land. As he looked out across the land, it says that not only did he see the army coming to attack, but in the hills, and in the hills he could see a great host of angels begin to come and surround him. And the chariots of fire, and he said, whoa, man, this is cool. This is, you know, he could see the great angels and the archangels and the warring angels coming. He was seeing the spiritual things. He went back in and said, yeah, I see them. Elisha, I also see the great host of angels. I hear the wind of chariots. Man, they're coming. God is going to protect us. God is going to deliver us. Sometimes we got to pray and say, you know what? I got to get my eyes off the thing directly in front of me. I got to get my eyes to get past that thing directly in front of me. Because when I look directly in front of me right now, when I see certain things, it looks like that ambush is going to take my life. This problem is going to overtake me. This thing is bigger than I can defeat on my own. But if I'll do according to what the psalmist says, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from you, O Lord. When I look in spiritual eyes, I say, God, yeah, this thing is big. But God, as I look to you, you're much bigger. God, I may look at my problem, and it looks very small compared to how big you are. And so I'm not going to focus on my problem. I'm going to focus on how big you are. I want to learn to see spiritually. I pray today that every one of us here, we would learn to take those spiritual eyes and put them on. That yes, there's going to be times in our life when we get a little bit nervous, and things are going to happen, anxiety is going to happen because of circumstances that are happening in our immediate eyesight, things that are happening right there. But I pray that God will give us spiritual glasses that we can put on and say, all right, God, I'm seeing all this right now, but, oh, all right, now I can see. Now I can see, God, that you're in control. God, I can see that, God, you got a plan. Now I can see that you're going to work this out for good no matter what happens in my life. It's getting our neck on what we see. Getting our foot on that neck of what we see and say, God, I'm going to not allow that what I see to dictate to me. Let me ask you this problem here. Do you see the promise or do you see the problem? Isn't that a good question? Do you see the promise that God's given you or do you see the problem? So many of us, the problems in our life is this because we only focus on the problem. Kay Morris, where are you today? Can you wait, raise your hand? When you had that, what was that, a goiter growing out inside of your neck? That big old thing intruding there? Her neck was swelling up with that big thing. Every morning she got up. What did you say? It's dead at the root. It's dead at the root. She got up, her and Mike, every morning they got up, she said, this thing is dead at the root. Now, how many times you get up and look in the mirror and see a thing protruding out of your neck, growing, big? With natural eyes, you want to panic, don't you? But she got up every morning and she would speak to that thing and say, this thing is dead at the root. God's alive in my life. And she would say that and declare that thing to be healed in her life. That thing disappeared, shrunk, and went away in her life. God did a miracle. This did a miracle. Shrunk that thing right out of her neck. Why? Because she was seeing past her physical eyes, and she seen how much what God could do in her life. She knew that her faith was, yeah, by man's eyes, this thing looks like a problem. It's a health hazard here. It's ugly. It's something I don't want to deal with in my life. But with good God, I'm seeing this thing disappeared. And she got up and focused on God's promise for her life. How many times in our life do we got to get past what we see and get our problems, past our problems and focus on the blessing, what God has for us? Heard the story of this hen house. This farmer had a big hen house and he had this big chicken coop there. And the head rooster was there, man. He was making sure these hens were laying their eggs. And there was the farmer's grandson had come to play football there. And he's just gotten this brand new football from his grandparents. Brand new, shiny, white football. You ever seen those white leather footballs? He's gotten one of those big, shiny, brand new, white leather footballs. And they're playing out there, and he's kicking around. And when he kicked it, it went over the fence and actually landed in the chicken coop. And that rooster looked at that football, and he said, all right, get all the hens. And he brought them all together. Listen, you see this thing right here? This is the kind of eggs that they're producing next door. We better get with it right here, right now. And many times in our life, if we're not careful, we see everybody else's thing and think everybody else has got it better. Everybody else is doing more than I'm doing. Everybody else is walking better than me. Everybody else is being blessed more than me. Everybody else is doing this and that. Get your eyes off of what everybody else is doing and focus on what God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, you'll walk in a greater blessing. You'll walk in a greater peace in your life. You got to get your foot on what you see. I don't see everybody else's blessing. I see what God's got for my life. I see what God wants to do changes in my life. I see what God wants got a promise for me and my family. Get your eyes on what you see and say, God, I want to go by what I know, what your word says in my life. We're doing good on time. All right, number four, a sense of what you hear. A sense of what you hear. We got to get past this sense of what we hear. 1 Kings 18:4. We know that Elijah was there in the land, and there was a great famine in the land. There had been a great famine in the land. There had been a drought. And because of the drought, people were saying it's a recession. I mean, camel prices for gas were going up so high through the roof. It's kind of like the gas prices were two summers ago. You know what I'm talking about. And a recession, people were saying recession. I mean, NBC, ABC, and woe is me. They were all on there speaking about how bad it was going to be, how bad it was. Well, everybody else was out speaking about how bad it was, how bad the recession was, how bad the economy was, how bad the drought was. Look at what Elijah said. Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of a war of a heavenly shower. When everybody else was hearing drought, when everybody else was hearing the bad report, what happened? Elijah said, you know what? I hear rain. I hear the sound of abundance, man. I hear different what you're hearing. You may hear recession. You may hear problems. You may hear this or that. But I hear abundance, man. I hear what God's going to do. I hear that God's bringing the rain. And when we're around today, listen, we're in a society that's very easily that wants to say, listen, you got to be careful what you listen to. Because, man, it's on 24-7, and the negative things are on 24-7. Our media outlets and everything that comes on your homepage, and your homepage that comes up, the news and the doom and gloom and talk radio, man, there's a lot of bad things being predicted all the time, isn't there? And if we're not careful, we go by what we hear. But sometimes you just got to stand and face to God. I'm not going to go by what I hear. I hear the sound of blessing to my life. I hear the sound of abundance in my life. I hear the sound of health in my life. I hear the sound of prosperity in my life. I hear the sound of salvation to my children. I hear the sound of healing to my body. I hear the sound of peace to my marriage. What are you hearing? Because the world will dictate to you what you hear. The world will dictate things to you you hear. You can't afford to go back to college. You can't afford to get this what you need done. You can't afford to make it through college and do this and that. I mean, you know how many times I heard that? Trying to work my way through college and get the degree and get through Bible college when God was calling me. And every time, it's like God always made a way. God made a way when it seemed like there was no way. I couldn't go by what I was hearing. I couldn't go by the letters in my mailbox saying, you're going to be terminated if you don't pay your bill. I'm like, God, I got, you know, I'm working as hard as I can, but it's not enough. And money would come in when it was needed. And I always had enough to keep it going. God always provided. It's always been that way in my life because I don't see and always go by what I see and what I hear. I go by what I know. I go by what I know. I hear the sound of a good report. I hear the sound of great things. When some people say, you know what, you can't start a church in Joplin. As it's going to happen, there's enough churches in Joplin. You can't start a church in Joplin. There's too many churches in Joplin. I hear the sound of a good report that says thousands of people are going to come to know the Lord. I hear the sound of a good report that there's going to be an abundance. There's going to be an army of people to raise up and love people who are going to passionately love God with all their heart. And they're going to learn to love their neighbors themselves. And we're going to show God's love in a real way. We're going to accept people and love people where they are. Love them through their hurts. Love them through their pain. And let God restore their life. I hear the sound of abundance. I hear the sound that says we're going to overcome. I hear the sound that says we're going to do better. I hear the sound that says, we shall. What do you hear? God spoke to David in 2 Samuel 5:24. David was in the middle of a war and he's getting ready to go out to battle. And he gave David some instruction. He said, David, listen, it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the trees, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. He told David, yeah, you got your army right here, but you be still. And when you hear the sounds of the tops of the trees, the marching, the tops of the, it's going to sound like marching coming across the tops of the trees. When you hear that sound, you know that's the army of the Lord going out ahead of you to strike your enemy. And then you go forward. How many times do we go by what we hear? Sometimes we've got to wait. Say, God, I'm not going to wait for the bad report. God, I'm going to wait and listen until I hear the marching of the army of God. I guarantee you, God didn't just speak to David. He didn't just speak to Elijah and Elisha. But God is speaking to you and I everywhere, every day, if we will listen. He says, we are the sheep, and the sheep will what? We will know his what? Voice. We're the sheep, and we will know our shepherd's voice. He is speaking if we will listen. But what are we listening to? What are we allowing ourselves? We've got to get our foot on the neck of that king and say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to all the bad report. God, what are you saying? God, when do you want me to sell? God, when do you want me to buy? God, when do you want me to give? God, when do you want me to do this? God, when do you want me to do this? And listen to God's report. And so when everybody else is saying, I hear fear and panic, say, you know what? I hear the sound of abundance. I hear the sound of blessing. I hear the sound of peace. I hear the sound of forgiveness. I hear the sound of reconciliation. I hear the sound of healing. I hear the sound of financial blessing. I hear the sound of a new job. I hear the sound of my children coming home. I hear the sound. What are you hearing today? Allow God to speak to you. And the last thing today, the last sense we got to get past is a sense of taste. The sense of taste. In 2 Kings 4:40, we see the story of the poison stew. You ever heard the story of the poison stew in the Bible? There's a story in here about the poison stew. And it says, so they poured out for men to eat. They had been gathering. What happened is they were starving, so they went out and They're in the fields, and they go out and they start gathering things. And they found some stuff they thought would make stew. When they got back, they realized that they were eating it. All the guys started cramping up and getting sick. And if you was not a herbologist back then, I just made that word up. I don't know if it was a herbologist back then. But if you're not a herbologist back then, sometimes you wouldn't know the difference between the poisonous plants and roots versus the ones that were non-poisonous. And oftentimes people would get sick and die from eating the wrong thing. And so they couldn't just go up and Google, hey, where's where I'm at? What should I look for? You know, it wasn't there. So these guys were out trying to make their own stew. And it says, they poured it out for men to eat. And as they were eating the stew, they cried out and said, oh, man of God, there is death in the pot. And what happened? They were cramping over. They said they were falling over, man. They were cramping up. And they knew that they had eaten things that were poisonous because they had seen it happen before. And the reaction they were having to their bodies, they knew that this stew was poison. And it says they were unable to eat it. But he said, now bring meal. This is what the prophet of God said. He said, now bring meal. Now meal is something that, not a meal, but meal was something that was used to like a floury substance that was used to bake bread. Okay, out of meal they made bread. They made leavened bread, and they made the bread. And so he said, bring the meal, and he threw the meal into the pot and said, pour it out for people that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. Once the prophet told him to add the meal took away the poison. And I say to you that sometimes in our life that things aren't always going to taste good. We're going to go through poisonous situations in our life. Things are going to happen. You're going to get in the middle and say, man, this tastes horrible. This tastes like poison, something that was meant to kill me. So how do I get past that? Sometimes you got to take some meal and throw it in there. You see, what is a meal? As we study this out and we study this word out, meal had representations of the Word of God. Meal was representation of the living Word, who Jesus was. He says, I'm the living Word of God. And there's times in your life you're going to go through things in your life that are going to seem poisonous to you. And look at it and you taste it and go, oh, that thing was meant to destroy me. So how do I keep it from destroying me? I take God's word. God, what does your word say? This thing tastes bitter to me, but God, your word says I'm going to be okay. God, your word says that I win. God, your word says I can be healed. God, your word says I am more than an overcomer. God, your word says through you all things are possible. And so I've got to take this meal and I've got to spread it along. I've got to take this word of God and I've got to put it in every situation that I do. I've got to look at what God's word's saying. Because the world's shooting out poison to me, isn't it? The world's shooting poison. It starts to me all the time. Discouragement, doom and gloom. I've got to put my foot on that neck of that king and say, listen, I'm not going to go by what I'm tasting. I'm going to go by what? I'm going to put your meal in it, God. And when I put your meal in it, it's going to turn out to be good. I'm going to put your word. I'm going to go by what your word says in my life. I'm going to deposit what your word says about me and my family. I'm going to put what your word says about my finances. I'm going to put what your word says about my health. I'm going to put your word says about my marriage.
I'm going to put what your word says about my job. I'm going to say what your word says about my children. I'm going to put the word in it to stir it up. When Jesus was on the cross, in an act of mockery, the soldiers took the cloth, and Jesus was wanting something sweet to drink, and they took it and they poured vinegar, a very bitter substance, on his rag, and they put it up to his mouth and tried to get him to take it, symbolic of the bitterness that they were doing to this man. And Jesus on the cross refused that bitter taste. He refused. He wouldn't take of it. I believe it's symbolic that he was not going to allow the bitterness that man was trying to do to him come inside of him. He was not going to allow that bitterness to overtake him. He was not going to allow what was happening on the cross, the rejection he was feeling at that minute, that he knew they didn't know what they were doing, and he was not going to allow that bitterness to come in and take hold of who he was. In our life, we can't go by what we taste, because if we take in everything we taste, sometimes you'll take in things that are bitter. Sometimes you go through situations where you're hurt, and you take in a bitter situation. If you're not careful, that bitterness will get inside you, and you'll have a bad taste for things of this world, and have a bad taste for things in church, or have a bad taste for people that have hurt you and let you down. Don't take those in. Don't go by your taste. Go by God's word. Allow his word to get a hold in your heart and heal your situation. Allow God's word to come in and smooth that thing out, to take that poison that was meant to destroy you and turn it out to be a thing that would become nourishment to your body. We've got to put our foot a hold on these senses and put our trust in the Lord. Today, with our heads bowed today, I want to ask you a question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about trusting in God, getting past these things in our life, but the first point I need to do today, I just need to simply come to Jesus today and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to confess you as Lord of my life. I want to make Jesus my Savior of my life today. I want to make sure that if I die today, that I'll make it to heaven. I want to make sure that heaven's my home, and I want to stop being the person I am, and I want to learn to be a person who follows after Christ. If you're here today and you say, that's me, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Spirit's been tugging at you all service. You know what I'm talking about, because your heart's beating real hard right now inside your chest, and you're feeling those butterflies, and you don't know what that is. That's the Holy Spirit in you today who's pulling you and calling you home and saying, come home, son. Come home, daughter. It's time to get to a right relationship with me. If you're here today, I will not embarrass you in any way. Nobody's looking but me today. But you say, Pastor, today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Will you just raise your hand where you're at and let me see it? Anybody here today, say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus. Raise it high. Let me see it. Say, I need to get right with God today. Anybody here, can you raise it high? I want to make sure I didn't miss you. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join these two who raised their hands and say, I want to be a part of coming back home today? Anyone else here today? One more chance. I want you to don't pass you by. He says to me, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. Anybody else today, raise your hand where you're at. Let's say this prayer together today before we close out. We had a couple of people who raised their hands, so let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you. I accept you now as Lord and Savior of my life. I confess you as Lord of my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give them a hand clap. If you prayed that prayer today, we say, you need to find a church home. If you don't have a church home, we welcome you here. You need to be involved with people who can love you and surround you. Before you leave today, in the very back, we got a packet that has a free Bible and some other information in there. It's a free gift to you today for those who made that decision. You can stop by the very back and get those. They'll be in the back passing those out. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet today. How many here today, I'm going to let you just keep your heads looking this way and eyes this way. How many today said, Pastor, I need to put my foot on some of my senses. But God's speaking to me today to not go by what I feel and taste and smell and touch, you know, and hear. I need to learn to put some more trust in what God's saying. How many today say, Pastor, I want to hear this. I want to hear the sound of abundance in my life. I want to hear the sound of God's blessing in my life. I want to hear the sound of health and restoration, man. I want to hear the sound of peace. I want to hear the sound of what God's word is saying for me. Anybody here say, that's me. I want to hear that in my life today. boy. I'm going to pray for you. Father, today, Lord, let's just continue to raise your hands where you're at. So, Father, today I receive what you have for me. And Father, as every hand is raised around here today, Lord, you see the hands raised up and say, God, I want to receive the sound of abundance. I want to receive what your word says. God, I want to receive by faith what you're saying to me. And God, I pray for every person here that will get our eyes off the natural and begin to see the supernatural. That God, we can see the promise of your word. That God, when we go through things that don't taste good or things that don't smell right, that God, we know that you're bigger than that problem. And God, that you're guiding us and help us to hear the sound of the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear the Holy Spirit directing us, encouraging us. Help us to read what your word says and says, I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to claim that promise in my life. And God, today we're going to walk in abundance. We're going to walk in health. And God, we're going to walk in the best that you have for us. And we receive it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Tonight at 6 o'clock, come out to the park. Don't forget, we got maps out front if you need them. We'll see you tonight at 6. Come, ready to have a good time. We'll say God bless you.